all the storms that have been coming by, I thought you were going to announce 911 as the invitation song, but maybe we won't need that tonight. It's good to see you here this evening. I want to start off by just expressing our deep gratitude on behalf of the congregation and Jay for all the help that I called. It was kind of late notice, but I called Mike Ellis. Well, he had texted me saying, you guys need any help with anything? And so I texted him and said that we're getting a truckload from the Churches of Christ disaster relief effort from Nashville. They brought a truckload that was going to be coming in late Friday night and that we were going to unload it Saturday morning. And a group of, I think it were 10 from here. We had about 30 in all, but there were 10 people that came to help. And you guys were a huge help. I mean, we'd still be doing what we were doing Saturday without your help and getting the railing out of the way so that we could get the truck in there and get everything unloaded, putting the 10 wheelbarrows together. I'd be working all week on that this week. And so I'm so grateful that we were able to get that done. And We really appreciate you joining hands with us in that. We'll be busy all this week, and we don't know for how long, but distributing the materials. But we do have food and water and other supplies for those that need it. With the electricity out, there were a number of people that lost a lot of food that didn't, from freezers and things. But there was a number of houses that were completely destroyed, and so we do have, I think maybe 50 houses with major damage, although not all of those were completely wiped out, but 5 to 10 houses where they just probably won't be able to move back in it. A lot of major damage, and this is a good way for the church to help to address the needs there and to reach out and hopefully to open some doors for the gospel as well. And we just really appreciate your participation. If you know people that need some of that, we will have the building open there and have it manned at least, every weekday this week from 9 to noon. And if somebody needs help, we can always work it out later too. But that's the official time that we're open to distribute will be 9 to noon every day this week, Monday through Saturday. We'll play it by ear from that, for next week. But at least every day this week. Because you were such a big help, I wanted to give you a big reward. So I gave everybody a really expensive bookmark. This is made with Walmart grade cardstock, so cost a fortune to know. But I do want to cover. I want to use this as the basis for our lesson tonight. 10 commandments for serving God every day and everywhere. This isn't the 10 commandments, but it is 10 commandments that we find in the New Testament for us. And as kind of an introduction to those, we have 1 Corinthians 15:58 at the top there. You might just keep this in your Bible. It's a good reminder of things that, and these are things that we can always be doing. But it's the 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. And that might lead some people to ask, how can I always be abounding in the work of the Lord? I have a job. Unlike the preacher, I have to work. I have chores at home and family needs. I don't have time for the Lord's work on top of all that, not even a little bit, let alone always. How can I always be abounding in the work of the Lord when I've got a big workload outside of that? But that's not so. We can always be abounding in the work of the Lord. And that doesn't necessarily involve adding more to the schedule that you've already got now. A lot of it has to do with how we do what we're already doing. And I think we'll see that in these passages. The Ten Commandments that we'll be looking at tonight are about how to go about our daily business as a member of the family and our job and the community. And I want to make three quick observations before we look at these 10 items one by one. First, they're not the 10 commandments, but they are commandments that we are given. They're not suggestions. They are instructions that God has given us through His Word. And so they're not optional. This is how God expects us to live. Secondly, they're always applicable. The common denominator with each of these verses, and you'll see it, I've italicized that, is either all or all things or always or everything or as it relates to everybody. These apply to everything that we do. They're very comprehensive. And there are things that we can all do regardless of our ability. It's more a matter of attitude than it is aptitude. These are things all of us can always be doing if we'll apply ourselves to that. And I think that they are 10 instructions, commandments that can increase our effectiveness if we'll apply them to everything that we do. And the first of these, number one, is do all things without grumbling or disputing. Philippians 2, and I'll read verses 14 and 15, says, do all things without grumbling or disputing, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world. Now notice again, first of all, he says all things. There's never a time when this doesn't apply. He says do all things without grumbling or complaining. You know, there were a few things that angered God more in the Old Testament than when Israel would complain. And he came down pretty hard on them for grumbling and complaining. And we need to ask ourselves, when I complain, what message am I preaching? Because we're always preaching by the way we live, by how we go about our business. We're all preachers, and we're preaching a message. What are we saying? Are we saying that when we're kicking and screaming and complaining that we don't believe God's in control, that we don't believe in His providential care, that He's going to see us through, that He works all things together? We're saying something about our faith. We're preaching a message when we fail in this and when we grumble and complain. But he says, do everything, and there's a reason for this. Do it all without grumbling and complaining, so that you will prove yourselves blameless and innocent, and so that you will be a light in the world. We're letting our light shine in a tremendous way. When things happen and everyone around us is cursing and swearing and kicking and screaming, and we're doing it with a smile and a whistle, because we know that God's in control. We know it's going to work out. We know we have a different perspective on life, and so we don't have to, because of our faith in God, we don't have to grumble and complain like the world does. And that sends a powerful message to those around us. I think this is one of the, if I was going to pick one out of 10 to really work on, because this is probably the one where we fail the most, I would say if we don't do anything else but this for the rest of our lives, it will revolutionize our influence. It's that important. Let your light shine. And a really powerful way to do that is to never complain. Never grumble and complain. Karen Carpenter sang a song. One of the phrases is, I'm never going to stop the rain by complaining. And that's really true. Complaining doesn't, grumbling and complaining doesn't change anything. It doesn't improve the situation. It just undermines the faith that we're preaching, trying to proclaim to others that God loves you, and if you put your faith in Him, He'll provide what you need and He'll see you through every situation. We can't accomplish anything good by grumbling and complaining. Only harm. And so let's commit ourselves to that I'm, whatever else I do, I'm not going to complain or grumble. And that's what Paul says, do everything without that. Don't do it. And it's something that we really need to take to heart. Secondly then, 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18, number 2 on our bookmark, is in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And coupled with that, another passage too, and that's Ephesians 5 and verse 20. Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. How often is always? How often is all things? This again is so comprehensive. In everything, in every situation, be thankful. And always be giving thanks for all things. We make exceptions, don't we? This is not a time when I can find any reason to be thankful. And I want to share with you an illustration that I think is really powerful. And it comes from... I can find it here. Most of you, I'm sure, are familiar with Corrie Ten Boom and The Hiding Place. And her and her sister were taken to a concentration camp during World War II. And I want to share something about their life. Corrie and Betsy had lived in Holland during World War II, and they were In their book, The Hiding Place, they talk about how they were arrested by the Nazis. They were hiding Jews in the hiding place in their home. And eventually they were arrested and ended up in a concentration camp in Germany named Ravensbrück. Somehow they had been able to smuggle a small Bible in with them. And to be caught meant that they would be punished, lose their Bible, and the comforts that the Bible brought them. Ravensbrück was a large concentration camp. There were several oversized barracks where hundreds of prisoners were housed in each one. And during the day, they doubled as workhouses. When Betsy and Corey were first brought to their barracks and shown to their sleeping platform, they climbed onto it with its moldy, foul-smelling straw and awaited further instructions. Suddenly, Corey felt something pinch her leg. "Fleas," she cried out. And she and Betsy scrambled from the platform to a narrow shaft of light where they could see better. Corey cried, "Here, and here another one. Betsy, how can we live in such a place?" she asked. And Betsy replied, show us how." And she spoke so matter-of-factly that it took Corey a few seconds to realize that her sister was praying, "Lord, show us how to deal with this situation." She then excitedly spoke to Corey and said, "Corey, he's given us the answer. Before we ask, as he always does, in the Bible this morning, where was it? Read that part again." And Corey opened her little Bible to 1 Thessalonians and said, "Comfort the frightened, help the weak, be patient with everyone, see that none of you repays evil with evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to all." And then she read further, "Rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus." Betsy then told Corey that was how they could stand to live in such a place, by giving thanks for every single thing about their new barracks. Betsy began listing things that they were thankful for. And so she started listing. "We've been assigned here together. We have our Bible that we can share with the others here. The women are crowded close together, so many more will be able to hear." And then Betsy thanked God for the fleas. And Corey decided that was just too much. "Betsy, there's no way even God can make me thankful for a flea." But Betsy reminded her, "Give thanks in all circumstances." That's what it says. It doesn't say in pleasant circumstances. Fleas are part of this place where God has put us. Corey went along, but she was sure this time that Betsy was wrong. Well, some weeks went by with Betsy working in the workhouse knitting socks for the army and Corey assigned to outside work detail. They received some measure of peace in the evenings where they could share the scriptures with the other women, though they lived in constant fear of being found out and having their Bible confiscated. One day, though, Corey came back from the work detail, and Betsy, her sister, was waiting for her, and she said, "You know, we've never understood why we had so much freedom in our barracks when other barracks were subject to constant supervision and inspections. I found out why. This afternoon, we had some confusion about socks sizes, and we asked the supervisor to come in and settle it. But neither she nor the guards would step through the door. The supervisor said, 'That place is crawling with fleas.' The fleas proved to be the blessing that protected them, that allowed them to keep their Bible and to share that message with the others in the barracks." Be thankful in all things, always thankful, and we can. We can do that, and we may think, "Well, this is it, like Corey, I can't be thankful for this or that." But God says, always be thankful. And that's a matter of faith too, trusting that he does really work out things for the best. Number three, pray for all men. The next on our list is 1 Timothy 2, verse 1. "First of all, then, I urge that entreaties and prayers and petitions and thanksgiving be made on behalf of all men." And notice that it says, do this with thanksgivings. And we might ask, pray with gratitude for all men. How can I be thankful for this person? And yet it says, yes, pray with gratitude for all people. And maybe some of the most difficult people in our lives or place, people that God have put in our lives for a good purpose. It may be to strengthen our faith. It may be to teach us patience. It may be to teach us to be thankful for all things, but also an open door for us to be able to have a positive impact on their lives. But then he lists for kings and all who are in authority. You know, when he says that, we need to consider who the kings and emperor of the time were. We might say, you know, we should be thankful for all of our political leaders in the country today. But, you know, if we think they're bad, some of the emperors that they had at this time were awful. And worse, even, if we can imagine that, than some of the leaders that we're aware of. And he says, pray for them. We need to pray for them and pray for all of them with gratitude. Why? Because God wants all men to be saved, verse 4. And so I think we need to take that to heart, too, that as we're praying on people for one another and for people in our country, let's not write off the ones that we think aren't worth praying for. God wants all of them to be saved. And so we need to, if anything, expand our prayer list to include, you know, those who are in authority and to include all of those in our life that need our prayers. And there are a lot of them. Fourthly, then, 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 4, be patient with everyone. And consider, you know, the one who said this, consider Paul's example. Paul writes in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 10, for this reason I endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen, so that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus, and with it eternal glory. Is there anybody that ever had to endure more hardship than Paul for his preaching of the gospel? I don't know of anybody, and you know, but very few that have endured as much, let alone more than Paul, if anybody, for the sake. And he is the one that was willing to endure that. He would endure these things for their sake, so that they also might obtain the salvation in Christ, and with it eternal glory. We need to be patient with everybody, and it may be that tremendous patience that we have for others that opens the door for us to eventually bring them to Christ. But that, ever again, notice how comprehensive this is. Be patient with everyone, no exceptions, even the ones that make our lives the most difficult. And hand in hand with that is the next one, then, 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 15. See that no one repays evil with evil. Yeah, I'm trying to make sure I'm in sync with the postcard here. Evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. And again, notice the alls here, the always and the all people. Always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. That we have, no matter what they do, that we have what's best for them at heart. You know, we want their salvation. We want what's best for the other person. And we're to always have that attitude, no matter who it is, no matter how difficult they make our lives. Always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people that we encounter in life. Jesus said, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you, in Luke 6, 27 and 28. So, you know, even those that are out to hurt us, out to get us, our worst enemies, we're to love them, we're to do good for them, we're to pray for them, and to bless them. And so we always seek after what's best for others, just as Jesus did when he prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Number 6, do good to all people. Galatians 6 and verse 10 says, so then, while we have opportunity, and we're already half through, we're on the back side of the bookmark, but on number 6, so then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. So we start by making sure that our brothers and sisters in Christ, that their needs are met. But as we have opportunity, we try to help everybody. And that's what this disaster relief is all about. But as we have opportunity, we seek to do all the good we can for all the people that we can benefit. And I think that here, sometimes we may think, I'm at the end of my resources too quickly, that, well, this is all the surplus I have, this is all really I can give. As one really often overlooked resource that we all have is doing without. And I want to give you an example from the early church. The Christian writer Aristides delivered the Apology of Aristides the Philosopher around 125 AD. This was when the Roman Emperor Hadrian visited Athens. And in section 15 of his defense of the faith, he wrote about the Christians. He says, and they love one another, and from widows they do not turn away their esteem. And they deliver the orphan from him who treats him harshly. And he who was gives to him who has not without boasting. And when they see a stranger, they take him into their homes and rejoice over him as a very brother. For they do not call them brethren after the flesh, but brethren after the Spirit and in God. And whenever one of their poor passes from the world, each one of them, according to his ability, gives heed to him and carefully sees to his burial. And if they hear, and get this, if they hear that one of their number is imprisoned or afflicted on account of the name of their Messiah, all of them anxiously minister to this necessity. And if it is possible to redeem him, they set him free. And if there is any among them that is poor and needy, and if they have no spare food, they fast for 2 or 3 days in order to supply to the needy their lack of food. Let me read that last sentence again. This is the tremendous love and willingness to sacrifice for each other of the early church. And if there is among them any that is poor and needy, and if they have no spare food, they fast 2 or 3 days in order to supply to the needy their lack of food. Isn't that tremendous? Isn't that a wonderful demonstration of love? Sometimes we may be able to give more by simply being willing to do consume less on ourselves. We may have more to share sometimes than we think. But as we have opportunity, let's do good to all people. Number 7, be at peace with all men. And this does say, if possible. Romans 12 and verse 18, if possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. What we're able to do, we need to do our part, but I think sometimes as Christians may sometimes feel guilty if we're doing the very best that we can to have a good relationship with somebody and they don't allow it. We can only do what we can do. Jesus had enemies. Jesus was not able to get everybody to love him. There were some that hated him enough to kill him. Paul had his enemies. And so he does say, as far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. That being at peace with all men doesn't mean that we compromise what's right in order to keep the peace. We have to continue to do the right thing. We have to uphold the truth. We speak the truth in love. But even when we do our very best, we're not going to be at peace. We're going to have people that don't like us, people that hate us. And that's on them. That's not on us. And so he does say, as far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. We're peacemakers and we seek to promote peace, but we don't compromise the gospel. We don't compromise what's right. We and give in to what's wrong, but we should strive for being at peace with all men and doing what we can. Number 8, whatever you do, and again, this is the things that we're already doing, but whatever you do, do it with all your heart. It's not just what we do, but how we do it. Colossians 3, 23 and 24. Whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. That really makes a difference if you have a boss that's not very likable, not very reasonable. Sometimes we might have to remind ourselves that I'm doing this for the Lord. There are some employers that don't bring out the best in their workers, but we're serving the Lord. And in the context of this slave master or employer employee relationship, that whether we're the boss, whether we're the employer or the employee, that we are all to recognize our master is in heaven. We're serving the Lord. And so even if our boss doesn't call for the best in us, our Lord certainly does. That we do it with all our heart, do it well, do it for the Lord. He's the one that we're working for. And sometimes maybe we need that extra motivation to really do the best we can in the work that we're involved in. Number 9, always be ready to share your faith. 1 Peter 3 and verse 15 says, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone. There we have the all twice. That's always ready, and anytime there's that opportunity to share it. Always ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. I want to talk for just a moment about my mom's parents, my grandma and grandpa Acock. Grandpa was a preacher, and he preached a lot in mostly in towns in Texas. And there, a lot of people fished. They played dominoes or 42 or rook. Those were some of the major pastimes when they were younger. And as they grew up as a Christian couple, they would invite a lot of people just to go fishing with them or to come and play rook or 42. And just to get to know them better. And as they did that, Grandpa would wait, and if they asked a question about their faith and about the church, then he would simply answer that question. He said, "I'm not going to unload a whole sermon on them. They'll be sorry that they asked the question, but just answer those questions." And as they developed the relationship and as more of those questions were asked, you know, as the door was opening further, he would do. And there were, he would answer that, respond, and give them the information that they were seeking. And they were able to convert a lot of people by patiently building a relationship and always then being ready to give a defense to those that asked, to answer the questions as they asked more and more about the church and about Christianity. Building a relationship for Christ, opening up our homes, and I know today it's not as easy to have as many relationships where people are in our homes, but I think it's important for us to really work at developing those relationships, praying then for God to open doors, and then being ready when the door is open to share our faith with other people. Always being ready to give an answer to those that ask. And then number 10, and this affects all of the things that we say, Colossians 4 and verse 6, "Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person." We need to pray before we speak. We need to weigh our words. Is it needful? Is it beneficial? Will it edify? Will it uplift? Will it help the person? Or is it better left unsaid? Let your speech always be with grace. We can just do so much harm with a few careless words here and there. And so we need to really make it our goal to do that. So just to kind of sum this all up again, the first verse, always be abounding in the work of the Lord. We can always be letting our light shine by going about our business, applying these Ten Commandments here. And along with that, then two follow-up verses. I wanted to keep this at Ten Commandments, but I actually have 13 or 14 verses here, so it's kind of a makeshift. But 1 Corinthians 10 verse 31 says, "Whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." That kind of sums it up to you. Everything we do, we ought to seek to glorify God by what we do. And 1 Corinthians 16:14, "Let all that you do be done in love." Put a lot of love into it and do it. You know, is this what's loving? Is this what's best? Is this what's kind? Is this what will be helpful? That love should be behind everything that we do. And so it's not just what we do. It's how we do it. It's not some great act. We will have occasionally opportunities for great big acts. But how we perform the little everyday acts of our lives that we all have to do will get the job of living the Christian life done well. And that's what's important. It's the little things. And we can always be abounding in the work of the Lord if we'll do what we do in this way, I believe. That's the lesson for tonight. If you're not a Christian, some of the passages that we've looked at tonight are addressed to Christians because you, even though you're not a Christian, are important. God tells Christians to pray for all people because all people are important. He wants everybody to be saved. And if you're not saved, that includes you. He instructs Christians to be patient with everybody because everyone's eventual salvation is important. God wants you to be saved. And you can by embracing the salvation that He's made possible through the cross. If there's somebody that needs to respond to the gospel tonight or needs to ask for prayers of the congregation and come back to the Lord, you can make that known while we stand and sing.